How many of you guys have been out in public at a mall, at a restaurant, something like that, and encountered someone on their cell phone having a private conversation but talking way too loud? You can say amen here. It's allowed. Right? Way too loud. Maybe you're at a restaurant and they're in the booth behind you, you know, and you're just sitting there and enjoying your coffee or your tea or your pancakes, whatever you're eating, and they're back there, and it's loud, right? Because they're in a restaurant, it's a public place, and so they're trying to talk over the noise, and instead of being polite and stepping out, they just elevate the level of their talking. Like they think you are interested in any way, shape, or form in their conversation, right? Because isn't it normally like either it's like a husband and wife fighting, which is very uncomfortable, or they're talking about like plans for the kids later, you know? It's not always important stuff, but they do. See, I talked to you last week. We talked about distractions last week, remember? And I said that I told you a story about calling my wife while she was in the car with our three children and her sister and her child, and it was a carnival of crazy. She answered the phone, and it terrified me. And she said, "Hey, can I call you back later?" Because it was so loud in the car that we couldn't have a proper communication. We couldn't talk. Well, I think I may have given normal people a little too much credit when I said normal people would hang up and call back later. They don't. They just talk louder. Or they put on one of these. The Bluetooth. They somehow think this Bluetooth is magic. That if I'm wearing this contraption, my conversation, it's like I'm in a phone booth and my conversation is completely private to me. And so they wear this around and they have these conversations. Most people in public, mind you, wearing these things. Wait, come on, kid, let's nobody's watching. Let's be straight, me and you for a minute. These are ridiculous, right? I have one. This is mine. But they're ridiculous, right? I only wear this in the car. That is the only time I ever wear this, except on stage with you. But there are people who walk around in public wearing this crazy thing. There are people that go to movies wearing this. There are people that go to... Is anybody in here wearing one, by the way? Because we will point and laugh at you. Welcome to our church. But no, we wear these in public because we think it's going to help us filter out distractions. But what it does, it just makes us look dumb, right? Here, hear me. And I say this with all the love in my heart. Unless you are tasked with protecting the President of the United States or are a part of a military group raiding a compound, there is no excuse to wear this thing in public. All right, and that is your friendly public service announcement today from your pastor. Some of you are spouses or friends of people, and you're like, man, I wish they'd been here today. They need to get the podcast and play this part, and then when they wear this in public again, remind them, thus saith the Lord, you don't wear this in public. You don't do it because it's ridiculous. Now, some of you are wondering, what on earth could this possibly have to do with hearing from God? And it does. See, we started this series, High Fidelity, about four weeks ago now. And for the guests, this is what we did. All right, we started this series called High Fidelity, and we asked a very simple question. Is it possible for us, for you and for me, to clearly hear from the God of the universe? Can we hear him speak to us directly, to our lives, how we should live them, what we should do? Is it possible? And of course, our answer here at Wellspring is yes. We believe not only is it possible, we believe that's what we were created to experience. We believe we were created to experience a high fidelity relationship with the God of the universe, one that is clear and one that is free of noise and distraction. So week one, what I did is I did my best to try to present to you from God's word that God has done everything in history to prove to you he wants to be heard. Okay, God wants to be heard. Week two, I tried to point out that the only way to have a clear connection with God is through his son, Jesus Christ. That's how we establish the clear connection so that we can hear from God. Last week, we began the discussion of, it doesn't matter how clear the connection is. When I called my wife on the phone, when she was in the car with my three crazy kids, we had four bars, baby. We had full bars. but she couldn't hear anything because there was too many distractions around her. And what I did last week is I tried as hard as I could to convince you that the sin in your life, sin being anything we do that goes against what God would want us to do, the sin in your life is the carnival of crazy. It is distracting you from the voice of God. And I kind of left you there. And so today what I want to do is I want to pick back up right there. Because as I said, when I ended the conversation with my wife, what she said is, "Hey, babe, let me call you back later when the distractions are less." That's easy to do in a phone conversation. You don't always do it. You put this stupid thing on and think it's going to work. But it's easy to do in a phone conversation. Now, the real question we got to tackle today is, how do we do that in our life? How do we do that when it comes to hearing God's voice? How do we go about beginning to clear away the distractions of bad choices, the distractions of mistakes we've made, the distractions of desires we want to follow that we know might not please God, but we really want to follow them? How do we go about getting rid of that? How do we clear the noise so we can clearly hear from God? Because, see, I've been talking to some of you, and this has been a fun series for you. I've even had some people tell me, "Trey, it's awesome, man. I'm listening to God, and I'm hearing Him more than I've ever heard Him. I'm not really sure what He's saying, but I'm hearing Him. I feel Him around me. It's not real clear yet. It's not real clear, but I hear Him." You know what that is? That's a God that desperately wants to be heard, and that's a God you have a clear connection to, but you can't clearly hear Him because there's distractions in your life. And so let's figure out how to get rid of Him today, okay? Let's figure out how to begin that process of clearing those things away so that we can hear God's voice. Because in case you missed it, this is what we're fighting for. This is what this is all about. This is where we're trying to go. We're trying to get to a place that's this crucial, all right? There is offered to you and me a relationship with the God of the universe, who is all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful. A relationship is offered where you and I can literally, clearly hear from Him on issues such as, should I take this job? Should I marry this person? Should I date this person? Should I break up with this person? Should I build this house? Should I buy this house? Should I release? Should I move? Father, I don't know what to do with my 3-year-old. He's insane. That's true. If I had to raise my kids, just me and my wife, I'd quit. I love the fact that I got a God that I can go to on a daily basis who's parenting me as I try to parent my children. See, that's what's at stake here. That's what we're fighting for. That's what's so important. Direct access to the God of the universe. And I know everyone in the room doesn't fully believe in God today, but I also don't think you got up on a Sunday morning when you didn't have to because you don't believe it at all. I think you might even be remotely interested. There's something going on. So I'm just trying to tell you, this is what is out there for you. A real relationship with the God of the universe who's already sacrificed His only Son for you. You can tell how valuable something is by the price someone's willing to pay. Ask property owners in Myrtle Beach. Value ain't what it used to be. It don't matter how much you think it's worth it. The value is what someone is willing to pay for it. You know how valuable God thinks you are? He paid everything. That's what we're talking about today. That's the relationship that is offered for you. And if we want to get serious about it, if we want to take it to the next step, if we want high fidelity in that relationship, we have to get serious about clearing the distractions of sin in our life. So, here's where we're going to go today. I'm going to read you a couple of passages all by a guy named Paul. And the first passage we're going to read is from a letter Paul wrote to the church, to a group of Christians that lived in Rome. At the time, Paul wrote this letter to them, to the church in Rome. And Paul, because he was very creative in his titles, titled the book Romans. Later, we're going to read a passage to where he wrote a letter to a guy named Timothy. And he titled that book, you guessed it, Timothy. Because he's really, really creative. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at this. Start in Romans. If you have a Bible, you can go ahead and open to it. Romans 12 is where we're going to be for a brief part. And then we're going to jump to 2 Timothy. Here's what Paul's done in the book of Romans, okay? Because the Roman church was a church full of Christians, but they were in Rome. If you know your geography, Rome's kind of far away from Jerusalem. So they had heard the stories. They had some folks from Jerusalem come and move to Rome, but they didn't really know everything. They didn't have all the details. So Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1 through 11, what Paul has basically done is filled them in. He's telling them the story. He said, this is what God has done for you. This is what the God of the universe did so that you could be heard by him. You were sinners, as we talked about a couple times in this series. And because of that, you couldn't have a relationship with God. God sent his son to take the penalty for your sin, because sin had to be punished. God sent his son to die so that you didn't have to. He sent his son so that you could be forgiven, so that you could have a real relationship with God where you could clearly hear from him. And so that you could live for him, and he could then move through you so that other people around you would also fall in love with Jesus. He has spent 11 chapters walking them through this process, trying to point out to them all that God has done. And then in verse 12, he kind of puts a bow on it. All right? He kind of says, because of all that, because of everything I've said in verse 1 through 11, he then says, in verse 1, he then says, because of all that, you should stop living for yourself and live for God. Because of everything he's done for you, you should stop trying to do things in your own power. You should stop trying to please yourself. And instead, you should live for the God and for the guy who loves you and has done all this awesome stuff for you. And then in verse 2, he says, this is how you do that. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. So you didn't know Paul was a rapper. Don't conform, be transformed. Don't conform, be transformed. It's kind of fun to say. Don't conform, come on, say it with me. Don't conform, be transformed. That was weak. Don't conform, be transformed. Now, we don't know what that means, but it sounds cool, right? Because it rhymes. You could run for office with that thing. Who cares what it means? See, that's what Paul said. Paul said, don't conform, be transformed. And if you're like me, you hear that, you want to say, okay, Paul, how do I do that? Because if there's any parents in the room, you know, you can't just say to your children, stop whining. You can't just say to your children, stop being selfish. You can't just speak it so, right? You have to teach them. You have to train them. You have to beat them into submission. That was a joke to anyone who... I love my children, all right? That was a joke. It was a joke. But see, they have to learn. We have to learn. I can't just say, don't conform, be transformed. I can't just say to you, transform. You don't even know what to transform into. You don't know how. I don't know how, but good for us. Paul isn't stupid. Paul's going to tell us how. Keep reading. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Now, what on earth does that mean? Right? Sounds nice. Sounds like something I do at yoga. Sounds like something I do on the beach with a renewal of my mind. Before I tell you what it is, let me explain to you why we want to do it, okay? Paul kind of wraps it up nicely right here. He says, When you do that, when you renew your mind, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. When your mind is renewed, you will learn to know God's will for you. You will learn to know what God wants for you. Put another way, when your mind begins to be renewed by the Holy Spirit, you begin to clearly hear from God. Because that's what it's all about, right? The reason we want to clearly hear from God is because we want to know what God wants for us. It's because we're smart enough to reason. This guy knows the future. Maybe I should ask him if I should take this job or not, because he might know what's going to happen in about 2 years. See, we want to know God's will for us. And Paul just clearly laid it out. If you want to know God's will, you have to allow your mind to be renewed. Don't conform, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. As our minds are renewed, our thoughts are transformed. As our mind is renewed, the distractions of sin become less and less. The voice of God becomes louder and clearer in our life. And we are better able to follow what God wants. So it would probably be pretty crucial today to explain to you how we renew our minds, right? I'm not leaving you hanging. I'm not going to get you to the cliff of renew and not take you to all the way, right? We have to understand what that looks like. I'm not going to pretend that you already get it, that you understand it. We have to walk through it together to know what it means on a daily basis for you and I to allow the God of the universe to renew our minds. And to do that, we're going to jump to another letter that Paul wrote. If you have your Bible, again, turn to 2 Timothy. This is where we're going to be. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is where we're going to be. And 2 Timothy, like I said about the book of Romans, 2 Timothy is the second letter that Paul has written to Timothy. See, the Bible's real complicated, I know. Second letter that Paul's written to Timothy. And here's what's happening. Timothy is a guy that Paul's known for a while. And Paul's kind of been mentoring him and kind of training him up, kind of leading him to be a pastor. Paul's kind of been his teacher. Paul's given him a lot of advice. Paul's basically walked him through a lot of situations in his church. Paul has actually written, like I said, this is the second letter Paul's written. And the letter is full of very practical, some of it actually specific to just Timothy's church. Ways to handle things, how he should do this, how he should do that. Paul has basically been acting as an advisor and even almost representing God's voice to Timothy, speaking into him. And before that freaks you out, you know we do the same thing. If you're a parent in here, you have been tasked by God to speak his truth into your children before they can. I did a whole series on this, so I'm not going to talk about it too much, but parents, you have been given your authority by the God of the universe to use for his glory, not yours. That's what Paul's doing. Paul has been walking with Timothy, trying to prepare him, trying to get him ready to lead this church, helping him figure things out. And then in the second letter, as Paul's wrapping it up, what Paul does is Paul tries to give him hey, I know I've given you a lot of stuff. I know I've said a lot. But if you remember nothing else that I've said, I want you to remember these statements. All right? He kind of gives him a wrap this all up. Nothing matters more than this. And it's really crucial if you know the history, if you know what's going on. Paul's about to die. Paul's quite certain this is the last communication he will ever have with Timothy. In fact, in the letter, he begs Timothy to come see him quickly. Because at this point, Paul's in a dungeon, shackled under an incredibly sane emperor named Nero. If you know anything about Nero, he was everything but sane. And he really enjoyed killing Christians. So Paul's trapped there. Paul knows this up. This is ball game. So I better give Timothy my best shot. I better give him something that he can use for the rest of his life. And what he does is he gives him the key for you and I today to renewing our minds, to letting God begin to shape us so that it's easier to not conform, but rather be transformed, so that we know what God wants for our life. And here's what he says, starting in chapter 3, starts in verse 14. He's talking to Timothy, but he's really talking to us. But you, wellspring, must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. Now, that sounds kind of open there. Trust the things you've been taught. I've been taught things. You've been taught things. We've all been taught things. But he qualifies it. It's not just anything. He qualifies it with the next sentence. He says this, you have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. See, what he's saying to Timothy is he's saying, whatever you do, remain faithful to God's word. Whatever you do, remain faithful to the truths I've given you in my word. Whatever you do, when people freak out, when they try to start pulling you this way and that way, when your emotions tell you, there's no way that can be wrong, when everything in you is pulling you to conform to the pattern of this world, Paul says, don't conform, be transformed by remaining faithful, Timothy, to what you have been taught from God's word. Here's why. Verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. See, what he's saying to Timothy and what he's really presenting to you and I is a fundamental truth of our faith. It's that God didn't just come in the form of a man and live 33 years and then bolt. That entire time, he was moving and speaking through men of faith to record his truth so that you and I would have this thing we call the Bible, which Paul just says here is inspired by God, but the actual Greek there says God breathed. The very voice of God. And what he's saying is, Timothy, man, you got to remain faithful to that. You got to cling to the Bible because it's there and it's not going to change. And I've worked through it and it's ready for you and it's going to help you. And it's going to help you when your emotions start going this way and that way. It's going to help you when everything in you says, I don't understand why we should do this. Well, but God's word says we should. So, because see, look at this. He says that it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but if there's something in my life that I know is true and it's helping me realize the areas in my life that don't match up to that, and it's helping me kind of clear those away, and it's helping me understand, well, no, this is what would please God, so I'm going to focus more on this. And these things that don't please God, I'm going to try to get rid of those. And I'm going to focus more on God and not on man. I'm going to not conform, but I'm going to be transformed. Because as I read the Bible and it points out what's right and what's wrong, my thoughts are changing. Because my mind is being renewed. I'm becoming less like I used to be, and I'm becoming more who God wants me to be. And as I do that, it becomes easier and easier to hear from God. And we all do this in other areas of our life. We do. It's just with the Bible that kind of freaks us out. Every one of your cars has a speedometer in it, right? Now, you hate that speedometer because you never feel like you're going as fast as it says you are. But guess what? The speedometer's right. It's there. You can think, I'm not going too fast, but the speedometer's been telling you, you're speeding, you're going way too fast, but I don't feel like I'm going fast. You're going way too fast, but the other cars around me are going the same speed. You're going too fast. And then if you live here long enough, you know what happens next. Boo, boo, they grab you. Ain't no shame in their game. They will pull over a local. I think they like pulling locals more than they like pulling tourists. And what do we say? Oh, but everybody else was doing it. But I didn't think I was going that fast. Or this is my fate. This is mine. You don't understand what I have to do. I'm in a hurry. But see, we were conforming rather than be transformed. There was something literally right in front of us, and it wasn't right in front of you. You're a dangerous driver, and you need to stop anyway. I don't know where you were looking. But it was right there the whole time saying, danger, you're going over speed limit. You're going too fast. You're going too fast. That's what God's word wants to do for you. It wants to transform the way you think so that you begin to understand, okay, too far. I've stepped over the line here. This is not the place God wants me to go. I have gone outside. I need to be reined back in. See what else Paul has to say about the Bible. It says, it corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. It's like I just said, that's what the Bible is going to do for us. It's going to correct us when we're wrong. It's going to teach us to do what is right. Verse 17, God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. What Paul's saying to Timothy is, Timothy, I'm about to go. You're not going to have me anymore to call me up and ask me questions, to write me letters, to get my advice. It's about over. So I want to assure you, my son, that you have everything you will ever need in God's word. It is adequate. It is able to equip you to do every single good work. What he would say to you and I today is, if you want to hear God's voice in your life, if you want to know how he's going to guide you for the rest of your life, his word is all you need. Now, before you ask me questions, is God's word going to tell you whether or not you should buy a house? No, it's not. Is God's word going to renew your mind, renew your thoughts, so that you are better able to not conform, but be transformed, so that there are less distractions of sin in your life, so that you can clearly hear from God in your life as to whether or not you should buy that house? Yes. Thirdly, will it ever be possible for you to clearly hear from God without the Bible in your life? Sadly, no. No, it won't. Because no matter how hard you and I try, no matter how many Bluetooths we put on and how loud we talk, the distraction of sin in our life will always prevail. Which is why Paul lays out the answer. Don't conform. Be transformed. Don't conform. Be transformed. Don't conform. Be transformed. And when we begin to embrace this, when we begin to say, I don't know everything, when we begin to say, well, if I'm going to say I want to hear from God, it'd be pretty arrogant of me to try to give him the terms on which I want to hear from him. He's God. I'm asking for his help. He's clearly told me what to do. Only a lunatic would try to tell God what to do, right? This is what I'm trying to say. And I'm a lunatic. I'm not saying, I'm here, I'm with you. I'm just calling it out. But when we do it, we embrace it. When we embrace don't conform, be transformed. When we allow him to renew our minds, that's when we hear him the clearest. Now, what I want to do today to wrap up is, if this is true, which I obviously believe it is, I wouldn't have wasted your time if I didn't. If this is true, that to clear the distractions, we have to embrace don't conform, be transformed. We have to allow God to renew our minds. And the way he's going to do that is through his word that teaches and equips us to do every good work. There's three statements that I kind of want you to take home. Almost a checklist that you can look at your life on a daily and weekly basis, especially if you're in a situation where you're really seeking clarity on something and you're just not getting it. You're really trying to hear from God on something and it's just not happening. Well, here's three statements that write these down and check them. And if you're checking all three, I can guarantee you God is going to speak clearly into your life. All right, number one. I will spend time reading the Bible. That's simple. You want to hear from God? Number one, I will spend time reading the Bible. Seems pretty simple, right? If God's word is his tool to mold us and shape us, to make us know what we should think, we should probably read it. Other than Christmas Eve when we read the story to our kids. Or, no, that's about it. That's the only time you'd read it. Or when you see the verses on the screen when you come here. No, I want to challenge you to begin reading the Bible for yourself. Now hear me, I'm not saying read it for an hour a day. I'm not saying read the whole thing in one sitting. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying commit to in some way, shape, or form reading the Bible on a consistent basis. That could be as simple as going to one of the billion devotional sites there are out there and signing up. They'll email it to you. Give you a little passage, tell you what some guy thinks about it. That's a mini sermon right there. And that's a start. It really is. Just to begin allowing God to speak to you through his word. Now, number two, I will spend time trying to understand the Bible. That's very different than reading it. If you've ever read it, you know that. I had to go to grad school for 3 years to begin to adequately understand the entire Bible. All right? It is a daunting task. I understand that. The Bible is a book written over the span of 2,000 years by more than 30 authors. It's written in three languages, and there are at least five different genres of literature represented in it. Some of it poetry. Yeah, poetry. Now, God gets that, okay? Which is why a lot of the core stuff, the most important stuff, the main stuff, he made it real simple. Like Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You can't really misunderstand that. But the rest of it, it has its place. It has its point. But you have to learn to understand it. You have to learn what's going on. One of the ways you do that, I'm going to tell you, let you off the hook. One of the ways you do that is showing up on Sundays. Really. Because I try my best to open up a passage. Sometimes we jump around a little bit. Other times I'll actually walk through a book. The series I did on relationships earlier, we literally went verse by verse through a poetry book in the Old Testament called Song of Solomon. And see, what I'm doing is by reading a little bit and then showing you what God's saying, or read a little bit and showing you what God's saying, I'm kind of bringing you along and teaching you, oh, this is how you do this. Okay. Yeah. So see, you're starting to begin to try to understand the Bible by showing up. Now, there are other things you can do. Our community groups, that's a great place to plug in because that's a safe environment to ask questions and to say, I don't understand what this means. Can you help me? And either somebody will answer or somebody will make up an answer. That's what we do. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Hopefully they won't make up an answer. But there are resources out there. Talk to me. Talk to Eric. Talk to TJ. We'd love to help you. There are books you can read. I'm not saying you need to become a biblical scholar tomorrow. Please don't hear that. All I'm saying is this book is the key to unlocking God's potential in your life. I believe you should spend time reading it, and I believe you should spend time understanding it, trying to understand it. And then last, the last thing I'd say, I will apply the Bible to my life. I will actually apply what it says. See, it can only teach us to do what is right. It can only show us what is wrong if we actually take what it says and apply it. Jesus can say till he's blue in the face, love your enemies. But if every time somebody does something bad to you, you take to Facebook and blast them, and then your next line is, join me at Wellspring on Sunday. See, we have to take what he's saying and we have to try to live it. We have to try to apply it. We have to try to carry it out. Otherwise, it's just knowledge. I don't want knowledge for you. I want you to not conform. I want you to be transformed. I want your mind to be renewed daily so that you can know God's will for your life. So that you can know what God's saying to you. So that you can hear him clearly speak. And you can live a life in confidence that you are walking in his plan, not your own. That'll only happen when you begin the process of allowing God to renew your mind and change the way you think. And the main way he's going to do that is through his word. So I challenge you this week. Spend some time. Ask yourself these three questions. Am I reading his word? Am I trying to understand his word? And am I applying it to my life? And if you do, I can guarantee you'll begin to experience the voice of God in your life in a way you never thought possible. Next week, I'm going to wrap up this series. And we're going to answer a question that I've had like 10 of you ask me over this series. Trey, I've been praying. I've been asking God to speak. I've been listening. But how do I know it's him? How do I know it's God? Well, continuing the cell phone theme of the series, next week I'm going to teach you how to create a caller ID for God. You can put a caller ID on there and know instantly, oh, this is God talking. And I'll also teach you how to put a call block on some of those other things that need to get out. So that's next week. Don't miss it as we wrap up this series. Because like I said, guys, this isn't just something I'm trying to get. I'm trying to impart to you wisdom that can radically transform your life, your family's life, your friend's life, everybody you know, so that you can take the next step towards connecting with the God of the universe and truly allowing him to move through you to transform the world around you. Let's pray together. Father God, I love you so much, and I thank you, God, that you're so clear with us. God, I thank you that you want to take the time with us to pour yourself out, that you want to take the time to mold us and shape us into the people you want us to be. Father, I thank you that you want to speak loud and clear to us. Father, I pray that you will help each of us today to understand how valuable your word is in this process, how your word can shape us and mold us and transform us into the people you want us to be, how it can clear the distractions of sin so that we can clearly hear your voice and your direction. So in your name we pray.